It's a blessing to have Kaylee with us this morning. And I always love to hear her perspective. When I had dinner with her, she said, "Oh, we young people say it this way." And I love that so much. We have the opportunity to hear the way the young people say it. Nah, there is so much wisdom that Kaylee shares with us. It's fun. And I love you dearly, Kaylee. I'm not making fun of you. I'm thrilled that you're here and that you're sharing with us. So here's Kaylee.
Thank you. That's great. That makes me sound like we young people. I've actually just turned 29, so I'm getting old. I'm kidding. No, thank you. Thank you all for allowing me to speak. It's always such a pleasure. A real treat to share with you all and dive into all the wonderful material we have at our disposal as we study these beliefs and these practices and this way of life and outlook. So thank you. And thank you, Ed. That was beautiful. Just gorgeous. I get full on tingles. If anybody's familiar with the ASMR community on YouTube, where certain people play or make certain sounds to give you tingles and relax. That's like ASMR, turned up to 11, man. It's awesome. I love it. So thank you again. And if you've listened to my talks, I like to start with just a little breather, just a little mini meditation, nothing huge. I actually have two meditations planned for today because like I mentioned during the intention section of this talk, winter can be a tricky season. For us here in the Northern Hemisphere, at least, it is a time where it gets colder and darker. And my mother in particular very much has, I don't know if it's full on seasonal affective disorder, but she's certainly affected when winter and autumn come. And so growing up, I've watched her and I've watched other people develop this certain melancholy when winter arrives and when the world goes to sleep and when it gets colder. And I, being a winter baby, I never had anything against winter. It was always like, ooh, my birthday and Christmas, it's fantastic. And, now that I'm older, I've even looked at it as, to me and to many, many, many of our ancestors, if you study the history of many Celtic practices and Druidic practices, the wheel of the year, the darker months were a time to rest and reflect and think. And that can be scary. That can be a really, it's going inward. It's watching the trees be bare and the animals eat a lot to get warm and fat for the winter and then rest. And it's watching the earth become frozen. And it's a time for us to be around fires and before electricity, candlelight, and to come together and huddle and think. And so that concept of, I don't want to call it death because it's not, it's a rebirth.
I spent $71.
It's a sleep and it's a rest and it's a time to really go inward and think. And that can be scary for some people, but I really think overall it's a blessing because everyone needs rest. Every night we sleep, so everyone needs rest in this time of winter. It can really and truly be a blessing, and you just have to sort of switch your paradigm point of view. And so with that in mind, with the concept of rest, of taking a deep breath, of allowing ourselves this time to go inward, I'm going to invite us to just close our eyes if you'd like, and if you don't want to, that's okay. You can just relax however you want. You can lay down, you can sit up, whatever. It's all good. And just take a deep breath with me. And in a bit of a juxtaposition, I'm going to have us go to a meadow. I don't know why, but I was drawn to the concept of a meadow. And then listening to Ed's music, the bowls, the singing bowls today, struck me as the sound of a gentle breeze. So I want us to imagine we're just sitting or laying down in a beautiful meadow. And there's no such thing as allergies in this place. So you can sit and enjoy the grass and the flowers as much as you desire. And the grass is so green and the wild flowers are whatever your favorites are. My mom loves black-eyed Susans. I like Queen Anne's lace. A TV show I've been watching has beautiful poppies. Whatever flower you love is there. And we're just taking some time to just bask in earth. And we realize we're always connected to this energy, which is an extension of God, like Connie said in her opening prayer. And whether earth is in full bloom like it is in this meadow in our minds, or whether it's maybe a little bit quieter and resting like it is for many of us in the Northern Hemisphere right now, we're always connected to that earth, this space. And a breeze inspired by Ed's singing bowls, just as gentle and tinkling, brushes past us, and it's sweet and fragrant, filled with wild flowers and honey. It envelops you. Inhale. Exhale. Steady. Pausing, allowing ourselves to, yes, acknowledge that there is a lot on our minds. This is a busy season, no matter what you celebrate. But that at the heart of it, it's about rest and taking time to be still. So allow yourself this space and this time. And we're in this meadow, we can come back to this meadow at any point that we so desire. And in fact, at the end of this talk, I'm going to have us come back to this meadow. So let's just say thank you to this sacred space for the time being. And then I invite you to gently open your eyes if they've been closed, and if not, just sort of settle back into your physical body here. Put your feet on the ground if you'd like. Take another couple deep breaths. And join me here as I share some thoughts that I had about the super easy conversation of God and the concept of God. It's not like, you know, philosophers have been discussing this for thousands of years. It's just totally easy topic. But truly and truly and deeply, I went into this thinking about the holiday season. And when Connie first texted me about speaking today, she mentioned light. And if the season is about rest, then it's also about light. And if you think about it, if you think about the holidays that are celebrated, I remember learning the story of Hanukkah when I was in elementary school, and how the light burned for, you know, 8 days as a miracle. And then you think of Christmas and all the lights we have, and the Christmas tree, and the concept of Jesus or Yeshua being the light. the Son of God, the Sun, S-U-N, you know, this concept of light coming into our lives. And I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about, you know, the myths and the stories of this time of year, and how God is really light, and all the beauty and the warmth that light represents, and the love. And then I was thinking about the three magi, the three wise men who are said to go and visit Jesus in his manger. And they bring gifts, you know, they bring three gifts. And then you have the concept in most traditional Christian practices of the Trinity. So this concept of three was coming up to me, and I was like, well, this was a wonderful book this year, but it had a lot of content. And I was like, I can't really summarize all of it. So I'm going to choose just kind of three main points that spoke to me. So I was listening. I kind of looked at the book, and then I listened to Dr. Joseph Murphy. Excuse me. And so I sort of established three things that really struck me this year, and while reading this book and just listening. And I chose that three things: that God is always present, God never judges, and we have the power of God. And so these were sort of my three wise men that came to me, if you will, to talk about today. And so I want to start with the concept of God always being present. Because like Connie mentioned at the start, a lot of people are very busy during this time of year. We're running around, we're getting presents, we're getting things for dinner. We're planning, you know, if you're able to, if you feel safe to, amongst COVID, to have relatives over or loved ones over. We're planning trips, we're getting cars fixed, we're doing a lot. And this is a modern 3D world, so we have a lot of demands on us. It's drive to the grocery store. It is pressing, you know, ship now on Amazon to get your gifts in time. It is spending the hours setting up Christmas decorations. It is a lot. And so we're in this modern world that is so fast-paced and is so 3D, ego-based. It's very, you know, we're in the physical, we have to spend money, we have to do a lot to impress our relatives, you know, this or that. And it's overwhelming at times. And the first thought that came to me when I was thinking about this point is that you don't ever truly have to worry about this modern world and the stresses of every day and the stresses of the modern world. You don't ever have to worry about those disconnecting you from God. You don't ever have to worry about disconnecting from God, because you're never truly disconnected. Your focus might be temporarily elsewhere, but you're never truly disconnected. God always has their face turned toward you. And I think, I can't remember the exact reference, but in the Bible, I think there's a psalm. And you know, the psalms are songs of joy and songs of sadness and sorrow. When David was singing, I think it was David, yeah. I'm a little rusty on my Bible knowledge here. There's a verse where something like, don't turn your face away from me, Lord. And it's interesting to read that because, again, he was coming from a point of sorrow and a point of, my God, God's turned away from me and I've been so focused on this or that. And it's interesting because in reality, God never turns their face from you. It's just what we're perceiving in that moment where we're maybe focused on stressful things or this or that. And all we have to do is turn back to God and turn our faces back to God, because God is always looking at us and always truly loving us and always, always, always one with us and one with our presence. And I wanted to share a memory I had that's always stuck with me. And as an introvert, as someone who would really rather be home watching Great British Bake Off than out with a bunch of friends, you know, even pre-COVID and pre-social distancing, you know, I'd just rather be in my house, and that's okay. And sometimes though, I do wonder and feel what we call loneliness. And I work from home as well, so I don't have an office that I go to. And so I do sometimes ruminate on this concept of being alone. And I go back to when I was in college, my first couple years in 2011 and 2012. And I was very, very much into a practice called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, which is tapping to remove subconscious blocks and old beliefs and feelings. And I was also, I wasn't as into Abraham as I was in high school, but I was still reading a lot of Abraham in college. And I remember that I was just searching for like-minded individuals, and I found this forum, and I can't remember the name of the forum, but it was people who were into the metaphysical and into the law of attraction and into eventually what I'd come to know as science of mind, divine science. I didn't have that label for it then, but I remember this post. There was this one particular user on this website, and I remember their username. They were called Stingray. And this person was such a wealth of wisdom and inspiration. And I remember being, anytime I was like depressed or having a hard time, I would go on this website and I would read a post by Stingray. And I remember someone posted and they were like, I feel lonely. You know, I don't have a partner. I don't have a lot of friends. And I feel very lonely. And this person, Stingray, responded with something that I've never forgotten. And it was so powerful to me. And it was just, a true freedom is when you realize there's no such thing as loneliness. And that everything you ever need is already within you and you as yourself. And they used the example of, I used to be suffering from the concept of loneliness as well. You know, that I should be out with friends or I should have a significant other. And then they said, and now I think about it and I can go for a walk and sit on my favorite tree branch and look at the sunset and feel completely content and not feel alone. Because I realize that everything that I want, the beautiful sunset that I'm watching, the friendship and camaraderie, that's all within me. You're never alone when you're alone. God has never turned their face from you. God is always there with you. You are never really alone. The entire universe is within you. And I love that. And I think about that so much whenever I'm starting to feel lonely. I'm like, true freedom is knowing that you're never alone and never having to worry about feeling lonely. Because you as yourself is enough and is everything, is God incarnate. And that ties into, I was listening because I have audiobooks of Dr. Joseph Murphy. And I was listening to chapter 19 of Psychic Perception. And he just repeats in that chapter so much, the key to freedom is your perception. And so he says, realize that you are God walking on earth. And that you can never be lonely because God is all. And so you have everything within you. And that's such a comfort to me, is that the concept of loneliness is such a 3D human thing and experience. And I think it sort of goes back to almost a materialism of how many friends do I have? Or like, especially with my generation, like how many likes did I get on my latest Instagram post? Like, none of that really matters because we're all connected on a much deeper level than Facebook. And that God is always with you and you're not ever alone. And that is such a relief to me, because when I'm starting to feel sad or lonely, I just remind myself I'm never really alone and I'm in control of my experience. And if I want to meet some more people, why not turn to the God presence within me and say, hey, bring me some like-minded friends. It's all always possible. And God is always present and never, ever, ever turns their face from you. And I just think that is such a refreshing outlook and so very lovely. And the sunshine is coming in as I'm saying this. And so I think that the world agrees that that's a very nice concept of you're never alone. And there's always, always light and always God looking at you. And that's rather special, isn't it? When you think about it, God is always looking at you. That's pretty awesome. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And now it's coming to me. What's that quote from Casablanca? Here's looking at you, kid. That's God with us. And so I think that's beautiful. And I think that's such a gift. And so that's the first wise magi that came to me. And then the next one was really interesting. I did not expect it to come to me, the thought, but I was thinking about how we all tend to judge ourselves this time of year. You know, did I make the turkey good enough? Or like for me, I'm trying to do homemade pierogies because my family's Polish, and like, oh my God, did I make the pierogies thin enough or good enough or whatever? And it's like, whoa, whoa, we're judging ourselves. And God doesn't judge. That's point number two I'm making today. God does not judge. And this is heavily inspired by Dr. Joseph Murphy in the chapter I was listening to yesterday, because he talks about how the whole chapter was on the concept of the Eastern concept of karma and how some people believe in reincarnation. And again, to each their own, if you believe in reincarnation in the traditional Eastern sense, what, you know, live your best life. I'm so happy that you have something you believe in. And Dr. Joseph Murphy, he personally did not believe in that. he said that that would imply that there was a judgy God who, when you move into the next dimension, when you die, is like, oh my gosh, you were a jerk who had lots of money in this life. So I'm judging you. And now you're going to be a poor person who has nothing in your next life. And also that comes to a concept of like, what's valued. Again, it's a very egotistic point of view of like money and status and what country you're born in is like, that's important, when it's really not. And Dr. Justin Murphy says, what's really important is that you understand that you have this power of God within you, and you understand the law, that you can create your world. That's what's important. Money, status, none of that matters. And so Dr. Joseph Murphy says, you know, I don't really believe in reincarnation because that implies a God that judges. And God doesn't judge. And, you know, when you think about it, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you decide to walk off the side of a building, whether you're the best person in the world or, you know, if the evilest person in the world decided to walk off a building, you're both fallen. The law of gravity doesn't have a conscience that says, oh, I'm going to save that person and not let that one survive. And the law of life and existence that we live by is the same way. It's not going to say, this person has bad karma, so I'm not going to give them what they desire. And as someone who grew up in a very traditional, I've mentioned before, a very traditional conservative Christian household, God very much was a guy with a beard on a throne in the sky with a sword who was going to judge me. And I was terrified. Especially of the rapture. There's this concept in many eschatological Christian beliefs that if you are a good person and a believer in Christ, when the rapture comes, you will be swept up into heaven and everyone else is going to have to suffer torture here on earth. And I literally remember being 10 and 11 years old and looking up at the sky with terror, thinking, oh my God, if the rapture comes, am I going to be good enough to be saved from the torture here on earth? And to me, as an adult now, as a 29-year-old who is versed in science of mind and divine science, that's horrifying. That's horrifying. I'm going to be honest with you that I had to think like that, because God does not judge like that. In fact, there's a quote, well, there's a Bible verse. Dr. Joseph Murphy was training to be a Jesuit priest before he became a divine science minister. So he inserts quite a few biblical verses. And, you know, there's, as Isaiah 1:18 straight up says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your sins be as crimson, they shall be made wool. So that right there implies a God that's like, absolutely not. If you have the concept of God being this consciousness, know that we're in the 3D world and we're in this human experience and we're going to make mistakes where we do turn our faces from God. But that doesn't mean that we're immediately doomed to a hell or doomed to a karmic cycle where we have to make ourselves better or prove ourselves. That's not how God works. God is only love and openness and kindness and understanding and harmony. That's only what God is. That's the purity of source of God. Anything else is just a human concept. And I know that I've said that to people in my life, including my mother, who are still into a very conservative, traditional Christian mindset, and they don't accept it. It's very hard for them. And I understand that, and that's okay. It may be here today. It might be something that's hard for you to think about too, because absolutely, we want to think that people like Adolf Hitler or whatever were, or Stalin were like punished. But that's so very much out of our realm right now. Like we're humans and we all go back to God and source. And that's something that God and source handles in the purity and the love and the harmony. And we just have to continually remember that that's what we're a part of. And that's what we're acknowledging. And that's what we're ruminating in, is the love and the light and the wisdom. The wisdom and the kindness and the compassion of God. And that's what I want to focus on. And that's what I want my future children to focus on. I want them to look at the sky and look at the stars and look at the sun and say, that's a God of, getting a little bit teared up here, that's a God of compassion and love and mercy and understanding, who's never going to turn its face from you, and that you never, ever, ever have to be afraid of. And anything that's negative or low frequency is something that's human made. And we can let that go. We don't have to have that as part of our experience anymore. Whew. God doesn't hold grudges, basically. And I want to share a little story that Dr. Joseph Murphy shared. And he talks about how he had a woman come to him when he would oftentimes see people after his sermons. And a woman came to him and said, I have really bad asthma attacks. And I went to a woman and she told me it was because in a past life, I choked people as a jail person. And Dr. Joseph Murphy was like, okay. And he used some choice words. He basically was like, that's complete poppycock. Like, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to say that, because people truly believe that. And again, to each their own, it's a beautiful thing that we all have so many viewpoints. But Dr. Joseph Murphy just said, I don't personally believe that. I think that it's something else. And so interestingly, he chatted with the woman and she said, well, my mom and I didn't get along. We fought a lot. She died from a severe asthma attack. And Dr. Joseph Murphy said, oh, that makes some sense to me. You're holding on to a grudge to yourself, because you never made up with your mom before she died. And so you've taken on her asthma. And he prayed with her. And he prayed and he said, I want you to imagine your mother, and I want you to give her peace and the lightness of God. Realize that she is in the next dimension now. And she is pure harmony and light and one with God. And there's nothing but love between you, and harmony and understanding. Whatever went unsaid here on earth has been said and understood and forgiven. And this woman wrote him 2 weeks ago and said, two weeks ago, my gosh, this was written back in the 50s, good Lord. Two weeks later, and said, I haven't had another asthma attack. And so Dr. Joseph Murphy says, the grudges are never with God. The grudges are something you're carrying within yourself. And all you have to do is turn your face back to God and acknowledge and ruminate in the fact that harmony exists. Only harmony, only compassion, only understanding. And everything else is just a temporary turning away and misfocus of your attention in this human realm. So that's point number two, is God never judges. God is always present. God never judges. And number three, we have the power of God. And again, this is a concept that took me a real long time to accept. And sometimes I even am like, is that blasphemous to think about? Like, do we really have God's power? Yes, we do. Yeah, we do. I mean, what's the line in Genesis, right? God made us in his image, right? And I think I've mentioned it before in the Sumerian myths that predate the Abrahamic religions. In fact, interestingly, in the traditional Abrahamic religions, Yahweh, the creator God, takes mud and earth and creates, breathes life into Adam or man, Adam. And in the Sumerian myths, the creator God takes a part of himself and molds man, humankind. And that's interesting, isn't it? This concept of one belief system saying we come directly from God, and then someone else saying, okay, no, God took mud and made us. And I like the thought that we directly are from God, because I think I know that we are, and we are each an expression of God. Like Dr. Joseph Murphy said, you are God walking on earth. There's no real separation. We have all the capabilities of God, all of it. God, and again, if you want to go with the traditional Abrahamic point of view, Genesis says we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And I could go into a whole rant about, you know, religious history and philosophy and the concept of fear and controlling people through fear and the councils of this and that, but we're not gonna, that's not what this talk is about. The point is that if we strip away the fear and the judgment and the control that humans, when living in fear and when turning their face away from God, it can be a strange concept to think that we have the same power and capability of God. When we're not looking at God, it can be weird to think we are God, but we are. We are. I've described it before as I think of it as if God is a beautiful, huge snow cloud. We're each snowflakes. We each come from the snow cloud, but we each have our own beauty, and no snowflake is the same, right? So we each have our own beautiful expression of God. But we have all that potentiality, all that power within us. Our minds are so insanely powerful. And unfortunately, in our modern day, in our modern world, not enough people. I think more people are. I really do. Some people call it an awakening. I just think more people are realizing we have more control over our lives than we maybe were originally made to think. And we have so much more power and connection to spirituality and to God than we maybe originally thought. And that's such a gift to think that you just have the power and the beauty of a sunrise, of the energy that makes a flower burst through the dirt and blossom. All of that is in you. That's incredible. We all have the power of God. And the question kind of can be then, well, how do we access it? And the first step is to realize, step one, realize you have the power and acknowledge that. And it might take some time to let that soak in, but it will. Dr. Joseph Murphy calls it spiritual osmosis. You know, it'll soak into your brain if you believe it and say it enough. And then step two, I was listening to a podcast and one of the hosts said, I think that we don't realize that we don't ask. We don't allow ourselves to really and truly ask. You know, if you want and need a new car, ask for a new car. Don't be afraid. Ask for what you desire. Put it out. Speak it into the universe. Florence Shovelshin. I got her name right, right, Connie? Yes. Okay. Woo. I've been calling her Francis for some reason. It's Florence Shovelshin. She talks about the power of words and how words, again, I've said this before, spelling, the power of words are like a magic wand. So say what you desire, speak your ask into the universe, into God, because that makes it more concrete, makes it more powerful. And if you can't, like, and there's some people who maybe feel uncomfortable with their voice, write it down. Say it loudly and proudly in your head. Mouth the words, but make it manifest enough in your mind that you can manifest it on the physical plane. So believe you have the power of God, acknowledge it, ask for what you desire, and don't be afraid to ask for what you desire. And then start the process of scientific prayer and manifestation. And I've talked about this in several of my other talks. There are old patterns and beliefs that we have to work through. That's just how we work as a human person. Dr. Joseph Murphy talked again about it in what I listened to yesterday, that a child is what the philosophers, you know, called the tabula rasa, the blank slate. And we're written upon by our society, by our family, by our loved ones. And so sometimes we do have to unlearn those things. And there are a lot of different modalities, meditation, EFT, therapy, to ways to unlearn those things. So start the process of unlearning what you don't want. And then Dr. Joseph Murphy says, and then he makes it sound so simple. He's like, just stop giving energy to the thought, the fallacy, the incorrect or wrong belief. Just stop. Just don't give it energy anymore. Picture a giant stop sign in your head. Just stop it. How is this helping me? One of my favorite little mini manifestations, I call it. I had a lot of pain in my left wrist. I'm left-handed. This was back in 2017 when I was working in office and doing a lot more writing with my hand. I had a lot of pain and I was wearing like a wrist brace. And I was like, my gosh, do I have to go to like a doctor? Do I have carpal tunnel? And I was literally getting into my car one day and I just stopped. And I was like, why am I giving so much attention to this? And I literally stood there and I said, all right, I'm going to say no more. I don't have any more wrist pain. I'm done with it. And every time it came into my head, I just would say, nope, no more. I don't have it anymore. And I swear to God, my wrist is fine. It stopped in 2 days. I'm not even joking. And I went to my chiropractor and he was like, he's open to all of this. He's very cool. And he's like, how do you work with it? And I just said, I said no more. And he's like, oh, okay. So you just stopped it. And I was like, yeah, I just stopped it. He's like, cool. So like, it's just, it's such an amazing concept that we have this power. You just stop the old beliefs, really work on that in whatever way feels good to you. And then start affirming and saying your scientific prayer. There's ways to do it. You can act it out like you're literally being an actress or an actor. You can do mirror treatment where you say it to yourself in the mirror. I've done both. There's people write. People do the 369 method. Nikola Tesla, one of the most brilliant and undervalued scientists of our day and age, of our lives, or not really our lives because none of us were alive, but of the world and history. One of his famous quotes was that he said, think of the universe in terms of three. So people often will write their affirmations or prayers in 369. There's different ways to manifest whatever feels good to you. But the key thing that I found from Neville Goddard is you have to assume it's already true. The law of assumption. Walk around as if it's already true. And you might feel a little bit foolish, like you're playing pretend like a child, but walk around like it's already true. And I was watching a movie last night. Called Thumbelina. My roommate and I are going through like our old animated classic child's movies. And this movie came out in 1997 and is based off a Hans Christian Andersen story about a little girl. She's a young woman, but she's no bigger than your thumb, right? She falls in love with the fairy prince, yada, yada, yada. But she's singing a song. I haven't seen this movie since I was five. She's singing a song in the opening of the movie. And literally, I'm sitting here and I've been thinking about this talk and the concept of light. And it's like, she says, after the rain, there's always a rainbow. And I was like, okay, light, I love that. But then she literally says, after a point, this will not be pretend anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, I love that. And she's like, the whole song is like her pretending she's dancing with the fairy prince and all that. And she's like, after a point, this will no longer be pretend. It will find me. And I was like, whoo, that's so cool. Okay, that's a connection. So just remember Thumbelina and it will no longer be pretend. It will happen in the way of divine timing and the best form for you. So that is the third wise magi that came to me. One, God is always present, never turns their face from you. Two, God never judges, is pure harmony and compassion always. Three, we have the power of God, and with the law of assumption and scientific prayer, we can truly form the life that we desire. And so with those three thoughts that are just, you know, just some casual light thinking concept of God for this Sunday morning, I would like to invite us now to do a little quick, I'm not gonna have it super long. I originally was introduced to this meditation when I was studying to be a certified hypnotist, which technically I am, but I really only use it for meditations and relaxing. And I was introduced to this meditation originally for past lives, which is interesting considering that I was reading or listening to Dr. Joseph Murphy talk about reincarnation yesterday. But I have reworked it with the concept of light, because what is a rainbow but the entire light spectrum? And so in the season of winter and the season of rest and going inside, but also this season of light, this juxtaposition of light. You know, I'm sitting here with the candle and the Christmas tree lights, and I invite us to tie both together. And I'm going to have us dive through the colors of the rainbow and do some inner work and put together this concept of winter and going within and evaluating yourself. Because this is a time for healing and rest, so that when spring does come, we're more refreshed. And I'm going to have us do it by hopping through light. So remember how I said we were going to go back to that meadow? We're going to go back to the meadow, because what better place to find a rainbow than a meadow? So I invite you again, if you want to, close your eyes with me. And we're back in this meadow, and we're going to take a deep breath in and out. Again, you can lay down if you want or just sit. It's all good. It's all good. The grass is green, lush. The flowers are fragrant, the most beautiful colors. And now we look up at the sky, and there's a rainbow, a full arced rainbow. And it's not even like faint or anything. It is strong. I mean, you can see the whole Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. You got the whole spectrum there. It is beautiful. And because this is such a sacred, beautiful, special space, we can just start flying on over. Because the laws of physics, they don't have to apply here if we don't want them to. So I want us to dive into this rainbow. And it might sound a little bit like, okay, Kaylee, are we all in kindergarten? But no, I have a plan here. And the rainbow feels like whatever you want it to feel like. It could be how it feels to dive into the cool surface of a pool or the magnificent ocean on a hot summer's day. It could be the feeling you get, like I love, when you're cuddled up with a blanket and a cup of hot cocoa. You take that first rich and decadent sip. It could feel like a hug from a loved one. Whatever you want it to feel like, that's what it feels like. It could feel like silk being draped across your body. Or when you cuddle into bed and you have a fresh out of the dryer set of sheets that's warm. Oh my gosh, that's such a great feeling. And we're in this rainbow, and I'm going to start us off with red. And red, if you're familiar with the concept of chakras, which is a Hindu practice, and so here in the West, I like to respect that and call them energy centers. So if you're familiar with that, the first base energy center is red. It's your root center. And it deals with the concept of feeling stable and provided for. And so I invite you to think about what I said, that God is always present and God never judges. God is never going to turn their face from you. You never have to worry about being alone or not provided for. So I invite you to just take a few moments here. And you might feel some energy like I'm feeling right now. The root energy center is right in your pelvis and your pubic bone area. So if you feel some energy or something moving, that's completely okay. It's very normal. So I want you to picture ruby red. And I just want you to say to yourself constantly, God is constantly loving me, paying attention to me. God is constantly there for me. God is always there for me. God always provides for me. God is always proud of me. God always loves me. God is always there for me. God always provides for me. God is always proud of me. God is always there. God always loves me. And now I invite us to dive into orange and yellow. And I don't know about you, but when I dive into this, I immediately just get that beautiful tropical scent and flavor, oranges and lemons. And one of the practices we learn when studying hypnosis is called the lemon test. And it's where you imagine yourself in a kitchen. And it's whatever kitchen you want it to be. And in my head, it's my childhood kitchen that my mom painted French country blue and white. And it was beautiful to me. I loved it. And you grab a lemon and you safely, completely and totally safely, cut into it. And you feel whatever sense comes to you. So for me, and immediately my lips start to pucker. And then my saliva starts to grow because I'm imagining a sour lemon. But then I get that beautiful scent of that, oh, that citrus just exploding in the air, like when you cut into a juicy lemon. Oh, magnificent. And so orange and yellow are all about it's your sacral center, and it's all about your connections. Particularly with me, it's with my loved ones. And what is more of a loved one than God? So I want you to bask in the thought of orange and yellow and tropics and lemons and oranges, the lusciousness. It's warm. It's almost decadent. And what's coming to me to share is to remind you all again that you never have to be lonely, that everything you need, whatever you want, all this decadence and beauty and luxury. I'm not even going to use the word decadence because that implies too much. So I'm just going to say beauty and bounty and luxury. All of it is always available within you. In this orange and yellow, beautiful space. And now we're going to move to green. And green is growth. Green is shooting up through the ground. Green is springtime that will come in a few months. And it's why we're sitting here and studying and going inside ourselves so that we can grow, so that we can be ready and energized when spring does come. And it will come, it always comes. Like Thumbelina was singing, there's always a rainbow after the rain. Change will always come, growth will always come. And now we go to blue, and blue is traditionally water and emotion. In the energy centers, it's your throat. It's speaking your truth. And so I want you to say to yourself, I am valid. I am allowed to have boundaries. I'm allowed to speak my mind and my heart. I am allowed to speak and live in my truth. I'm allowed to speak my truth. I'm allowed to live in my truth. And remember, God is always supporting you, always supporting you, always loving you and looking at you. Now we move to the last colors, indigo and violet. And I'm inspired by my friend Brenda. She talked about how she's been listening to a channeler who does these beautiful meditations with the archangels. And they talk about an amethyst colored fire in which you burn your fears. And so I want us here on this day and in this space, in this winter time, I want us to take all the detritus of dead leaves and rotting, unhelpful things, whatever it is, whatever form it takes in our lives. And I want us to pick it up and I want us to put it in this indigo violet fire. It's burned up. It's burned up, quick, easy, like the blink of an eye. That which does not serve you, you no longer have to turn your attention toward. Do like I did when I had the wrist pain. Just no more. Okay, I'm done. No, no more. It's gone. It's gone now. It can be transmuted into something beautiful and harmony. It's back to God. It's back to Source. So put what you need in this indigo violet flame and let it be cleansed. You can inhale and exhale if you want, because it can be a lot, it can be heavy, and that's okay. We're in the 3D, it's a heavy dimension. If you're feeling energy moving, that's awesome. That's great. Let it go. And now we're done with going through the rainbow. So we say thank you to this light that has illuminated what needs to be addressed and what we can now turn our face toward and what we can now acknowledge. And that's a gift. So we say thank you. That's our holiday gift. And now we float back, we fly back to our bodies in the meadow. We ease back into our physical selves, like putting on cozy, well-fitting winter socks so that you can putz around the house nice and warm and toasty. And I invite you to just come back to me and come back to my voice in this space, in the physical, so you can wiggle your toes. Kind of tap your feet on the ground if you'd like. Move your legs, move your neck. Yeah, however you kind of want to come back to the physical, it's fine. And then you can open your eyes and we're back here. And remember, if you ever need this meadow, this space, that rainbow, if you ever just want to go through it again, it's always there whenever you need it. God is always there. All you have to do is turn your face. God is always present. God never judges. And we all have the power and the love of God within us. And that is really a cause for celebration during this celebration season. And I thank you all very much. I know I've gone over, but I thank you all for listening. And I hope you found some benefit from the talk. And many, many blessings to you all for the holiday season. Thank you.